This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Alex Barth, Bobby Gravitsky, and for Anthony Pepe tonight, second hour of the Diehards. We've been talking about this hockey game all night. We've kind of built the show around it. We've come back and forth. I'll say this. If you're just a sports fan, even if you're not a huge hockey fan, Bruins were down 5-2. It's now 5-4, 3 minutes to go. Turn this thing on. Great environment at TD Garden. You'll hear us react to this down the stretch here again. Just over 3 minutes to go. Islanders lead the Bruins 5-4. It's game five of a tied series, 2-2. The Bruins have pulled Tuukka Rask. The 22-year-old Jeremy Swayman, the rookie, is in net. And he's made a couple of great saves. Needs to, made another one. All right. Bobby, let's get back to the NBA talk here. And we do only have a minute. I want to go back real quick to the because we talked about the series that are still going on. The Lakers elimination, that's got to be a trip. That's got to be a trip! My goodness!
Blade need any contact on that.
My goodness.
I thought for sure that was going to be a goal. Just the way that these Islanders points come about, questionable no call, great opportunity. Swayman comes up.
My goodness. The Lakers getting eliminated. LeBron has said that, you know, he's accomplished kind of what he wants to accomplish. The last box for him to check, not saying he's not going out and competing, but he said the last box to check is to play with his son. And that's, what, like 3 years, I think, 3-4 years away?
I think it might be sooner than that. Because you pretty soon they're going to make it. You can come out of high school.
Right.
I think he'll be in time for that.
I know that there were, you know, issues with that team, but LeBron's now missed the playoffs two of the last 3 years. Is he kind of – is this the back end now? Have we entered a new era?
Well, he didn't miss the
playoffs
this year.
Or early elimination, you're right.
If him and AD stay healthy, they could have won the title this year.
Fair enough. All right. We'll talk more NBA on the other side. We'll actually get into some stuff. We just had 30 seconds to fill there. Keep it here. You are listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alex Barth and Bobby Kravitsky in for Anthony Pepe tonight. 3.9 seconds left. Islanders and Bruins. Face-off coming. And then we'll put this thing to bed. We'll move on. We'll talk NBA. I do want to get into that Red Sox-Yankees series, Bobby, but this is coming from the Boston studio.
Well, I hope people tuned in. This has been a legitimately great finish to this game.
This is probably – I mean, look, here's the thing. You're going to talk about, you know, okay, it's two Boston guys talking about Boston. The only other game on right now is 81-60.
And the Bruins are about to lose, but the finish to this game has been entertaining.
There's 4 seconds left, Bobby. There's 4 seconds left with
the net. But they were down 3 goals.
I saw this team.
They cut it to one.
I saw this team up 2 goals with 17 seconds left, and they lost.
For the listeners who put this game on, tweet at me if you regret the decision.
Shoot it!
I would be stunned.
And it's over. All right. Fun hockey season. Bobby, you watched Red Sox-Yankees over the weekend.
Well, I watched the Sunday night game.
Okay.
I'm aware of what happened the other two and that the Red Sox broke the brooms out in New York.
It's interesting because at the beginning of the year, the Yankees were, if not the favorite to win the American League, at least the favorite to win the American League East, right? I mean, obviously the Rays are the defending champions, but they lost some talent. I think the Astros are always going to be a team people look at. The Angels, in theory, should be good, right? They have arguably the two most exciting players in baseball.
But that team just keeps marginally improving.
Yeah,
and Ohtani, it seems like every year there's an injury there.
I don't really get what the Angels are that team. I think I've brought this up to you before. I've given you this take before in the show. There's always one team in each league every year that's really good on paper and then finishes at like 500. Like the Chargers were that for years in the NFL. The Clippers were that for a while in the NBA. I feel like that's the Angels now. Because, like, I mentioned those two players they have, right? Trout and Ohtani, great players. Solid core. They have other good players.
They brought in Rendon. I feel like
they could pitch.
I feel like more than anything, people want the Angels to be good because they want to see Trout in the postseason. Because anything he does in the regular season goes unseen because the MLB is terrible about getting their clips out on social media. So people are trying to Angels into the playoffs.
He's on the second team in his own market.
Yeah, that too, for sure. But the roster, it just keeps incrementally improving from one offseason to the next. But it started from what felt like ground zero. So I'm not surprised that the Angels are by no means looking like a wagon in the AL West right now.
So anyway, to go back to the point, I mean, the Yankees were this wagon coming into the season, and then they started out the season okay.
Well, that's another one. Don't you feel like the projections really stem back to they signed Gerrit Cole, and it was just assumed it's going to be Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series, and it wasn't. And it was just kind of a carryover effect, like, okay, maybe it'll happen in year two.
Well, I mean, they have a ton of talent. You know who they remind me of? It's the Boston Celtics. Tremendous talent, you know, top tier, top of the roster talent. Legacy franchise projected to, you know.
Right down to the injuries.
Right. Well, exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. And that's part of it. But, Bobby, I don't think that's the whole thing. I think the Yankees might legitimately be bad. I think they've sold themselves on players, right? We talked to Jake Asman earlier about Gary Sanchez. And look, Gary Sanchez had his window. But I think they failed. Tell me if this sounds like the Celtics. They failed to cut bait on players when they should have. They've invested in guys and held on to guys for too long. Guys that are now struggling, Giovanni Urshela, Gary Sanchez, I think even maybe DJ LeMahieu. And obviously not their guy, right? He'd already had a career, but they go back last year, they bring him back, and now he's in the slump, and, you know, he's in his mid-30s. That's it. And the Yankees are one of these teams, like the Steelers do this. I think the Montreal Canadiens do this. Some of these true blue bloods, they don't like to fire people. They're above firing. When they need to get rid of somebody, it's a mutual decision or this or that. The Yankees, there might need to be some major change. And I think that getting swept, you look at the two teams that swept them in the last 2 weeks, right? Because they got swept twice in the last 2 weeks. They got swept by the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. That absolutely needs to be a wake-up call. If you're the New York Yankees getting swept by the Boston Red Sox, who are supposed to be a joke this year, and they've been very good. They have a second-best record in the American League. They won tonight. They've now won 7 of their last 10. But these teams were supposed to be flipped. The Red Sox were horrible last year. They were supposed to be about 500. Yankees were supposed to be contending. But that's not actually, if I'm a Yankees fan, that's not the sweep that I'm upset about. It probably hurts more, but you got swept by the Detroit Tigers. They have a historically bad offense. They would have, if not for those three wins against the Yankees, the worst record in the American League and the second worst record in baseball. Those two sweeps, you have an emotionally taxing sweep and then just one that shouldn't happen. Just on paper, X and O shouldn't happen. Aaron Boone makes that weird comment about, you know, yeah, good.
I have the quote pulled up.
Do you have it? Please read it, Bobby. Please. I had to read this 5 times.
So this was on June 4th when asked about the Yankees leading the league in hitting into double plays with 54 at the time.
And I don't think it's even close.
And he said, quote, typically the better teams are going to be higher up in hitting into double plays because they hit the ball harder and there's more people on base, which is just an asinine slant.
That's
on hitting double plays is actually a sign of having a great offense, which from a production standpoint, not just a names on the baseball card vantage point, has not been the case for the Yankees this year. They're certainly not producing like a top offense. Their bullpen has disintegrated. And you talk about the loyalty that a franchise like a Yankees or a Celtics tend to show to their employees, it can also poison the hiring process. And I really don't think if Aaron Boone doesn't take Tim Wakefield deep in 2003, that he is the manager of the Yankees right now. I think it all stems from that.
So the double play thing to me, that's like analytics gone out of control. But
I think that's an individual who misinterprets analytics or is trying to put a positive spin.
I think he's trying to like hype up his team.
It's a PR job.
Right. But it's, dude, you sound stupid.
One of the things
nothing, second worst offense in baseball, historically bad offense for the team. They haven't won a game this year in which they've allowed 4 or more runs. The saying this year when you play the Yankees is just score 4. Because if you do, you're going to win the freaking ball game. To come out I'm saying that, yes. Nothing says our offense is about to turn the corner like we're recording two outs at once more than any other team in baseball. I know it's efficient, and I know the game of baseball is all about efficiency, but you're really twisting that definition, Aaron Boone, to get that to fit. And on top of that, and that quote was egregious, on top of that, you have, so Sunday night, bottom of the ninth inning, the Yankees tie the game. They were up, then they were down, then they tie the game in the ninth. They have a chance to take the lead. Egregious third strike call on a curveball from Matt Barnes. 6 inches, a foot outside the plate. Phil Nevin, who's normally the third base coach, but can't coach third base because he's recovering from COVID and a staph infection. So he can be on the bench, but he can't be on the field. He lost something like 40 pounds. He goes out and yells at the umpire. He gets tossed. The bench coach, whose name is escaping me, I apologize, he starts yelling at the umpire from the dugout. Great clip if you can find it online. Yep, can't say it on the air. He gets tossed. Aaron Boone goes out twice and doesn't get himself tossed. So he's willing to stick up for his team and sound like a moron and say, yeah, double plays, but he's not willing to stick up for his team and get tossed when they need it after a brutal third strike call. That and those two sweeps that I mentioned, the emotional one in the Red Sox and just a brutal X's and O's one in the Tigers. I can't believe I'm getting fired up about the Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan. I can't believe I'm getting fired up about this. I don't know enough about the organizational structure with Cashman or whatever. Aaron Boone has embarrassed himself badly. Badly over the last 2 weeks. More so, I think, he has done more bad than that home run in 03 did good. Because let's remember two things about that home run in 03. The Yankees did not win the World Series.
Facts.
And the Red Sox won it the next year after coming back from down 3-0.
Well, so here's the other thing about the Aaron Boone hire. One of the things the Yankees tried to sell people on is that, yeah, he's coming with no experience. Not a prerequisite, by the
Sounds
way, to be
like
successful.
It.
But look, he's coming from ESPN, and one of those skills he has is he's an effective communicator. But I actually just thought of a third example as you were going on the diatribe right there. Well done, by the way. But
of what?
Of Aaron Boone poorly communicating,
okay,
whether it was to players, media, whoever.
Yeah.
So one is this double play quote that I read you not long ago.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Another is that he goes out to interact with the umps yesterday when his team needs someone to put a battery in their back. The other two guys, third base coach gets tossed.
Again, Phil Nevin,
bench coach,
who is dealing with
sent
a
to the shower,
staph infection and has lost 40 pounds, found
and
the
Aaron Boone
to get
goes out twice.
Tossed.
Nothing.
Right.
And thirdly, what I remembered is when he was mic'd up talking to the umpire, and he says, our guys are savages in the box. I mean, there's no example to back up this great number one selling point that they tried to bill Yankees fans, that Aaron Boone, it doesn't matter about his lack of experience as a manager, because he's so effective when it comes to communicating. But every example that we get that the public's exposed to speaks to the opposite being true. And so it's only a matter of time before he gets fired, because there's no sign of a turnaround in sight. The entire team is spiraling, and Aaron Boone is not showing any sign that he's the guy to rescue them.
That was some fun victory lap on the Yankees. I needed that after that Bruins
loss.
Well,
and let's not forget, this century, not only do the Red Sox have more World Series than any other team in baseball, but the Yankees have one, and they're tied with the Kansas City Royals, who have one of the smallest budgets in the league.
I love it. We're actually going to keep with baseball because the steroid era part two, very quietly, is underway. I want to talk about that. We'll do it on the other side. This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
It's Alex Barth and Bobby Krivitsky in for Anthony Pepe tonight on the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network. We've been talking baseball. We just talked about kind of the state of the league, the Yankees, because I think the Yankees were nationally embarrassed really all weekend last night. You know, they were on Sunday Night Baseball national TV, but swept by the Red Sox, who were supposed to be a joke coming into the season, haven't been, and there's some validity to that. I think some of it is they've overperformed, but they also got swept by the Tigers, which is pretty embarrassing. But
there's no spin zone that the Yankees season isn't going poorly.
I mean, at this point, because they're talking last night about, you know, because A-Rod just, you know, all over the Yankees last night. just talking, you know, he's talking about, you know, they can get this guy at the deadline for this, they can get this guy at the deadline for that. You got to be competitive at the deadline to justify giving up pieces to make those moves. I don't know that, because the American League East is stacked. The Yankees are in fourth place right now. You've got to have at least an outside shot of a playoff spot. I don't care if you're the New York Yankees. You got to have at least an outside shot to make the playoffs, to make some of those moves. So, Yankees,
unless you go big game hunting like a Drew Story, for instance, who probably gets moved at the deadline, who you understandably would think it then increases your odds to sign to a long-term contract.
Well, see, the Yankees, Yankees fan, I heard as a Red Sox fan for 2 years now about the Red Sox being pathetic and cheap for not wanting to go over the CBT, even though they're the Boston Red Sox. Yankees apparently don't want to go over the CBT.
Yankees have been operating like this for a long time now.
Apparently
under
not.
Hal Steinbrenner.
Apparently not. So
that's tone deaf.
Probably rule out Trevor Story. You're right. Yeah, like maybe they just go out and they sell all the prospects and get Trevor Story, and you know they go get Kettle Marte and they go get themselves a couple pitchers and just juice the whole thing up. But again, you got to be at least 500 to do that. They're only two games over 500 right now.
Well, again, the impetus would be we're hoping to reinvigorate the franchise, and we believe that it's a long-term investment worth making.
That's fair. That's fair. We'll see what happens. But I do want to get into this. This came out over the weekend from Sports Illustrated. And, we've known pitchers, you know, did stuff with the baseballs. That's just been a thing, guys. I remember the one I was thinking was when Michael Pineda had the pine tar on his neck, right, at Fenway Park. And Bronson Arroyo with the Red Sox had some sunscreen in the dugout that he wasn't supposed to have. Anyway, but this report comes out. First of all, baseball has known this is happening, and it's way worse than we thought. 80 to 90% of pitchers in the game, Bobby, are using illegal substances in some capacity. So they're not all over the top, and I'm going to get into a couple of over-the-top examples. They're not all like that. But, you know, what this has been is fastballs hang longer. Fastballs don't dip as fast, and that makes breaking balls that much more devastating. So the rise in no-hitters, the lack of offense, right? They juiced the baseball a couple years ago. We saw the rise in home runs. Pitchers compensated. And now, again, 80 to 90%. You have the lowest league average ever. And it's bad. There was one story where they had a bucket. They didn't say exactly what it was, but it was rosin, pine tar, sunscreen. I think there was some like cement or simulation cement in there. So this guy's clubhouse guy wasn't actually a pitcher, but he goes, he dips his hand in the bucket of this stuff, right? Takes his hand out, goes over to a cinder block, places his hand on the cinder block, doesn't grab it, places his hand on the flat side of the cinder block, and lifts the cinder block up.
Oh, geez.
Like that. There was another guy who's a minor league pitcher, was a major league pitcher, was in the minor leagues. He's doing a rehab start. After the game, he goes to the airport to go meet up with the major league team, and he couldn't get through TSA because of all the gunk on his hands. They thought it was an explosive. They thought it was a plastic explosive on his hands. So this is completely out of control, and it goes back to, again, I compare it to the steroid era because you had this era of dominance. Baseball knew it was happening. They looked the other way, and by looking the other way, they probably made it worse than it was. If they kept looking the other way, it would have been fine, but by looking the other way and then pivoting so hard, they made it much worse than it was. This feels, although it's decreasing the offense instead of increasing, this feels incredibly similar.
Well, with the original steroid era, baseball didn't just tacitly condone it. It was coming off the strike. They had to generate interest.
They needed it. Yeah.
And this was their ticket that they used. And they kind of used it up where the home run ball isn't as compelling and going to get fans like it did back in the late 90s with the chase between Maguire and Sosa, which was epic. Like, that's such a nostalgic memory for me to
look
back on.
That's what hooked me on baseball, yeah.
Absolutely. And so that was great at the time, but that card was played up. And what it speaks to, even with these anecdotes that you're bringing up here, it's not some revelation or something that has recently started. A lot of this stuff is widespread around the league. Just like it's a business. Cheating tends to happen in professional sports, and we don't like it, and that doesn't necessarily make it okay, but we can't pretend to be naive that this stuff doesn't go on. These are cutthroat billion-dollar industries. It happens all the time, and it's why once one team gets popped for a major cheating scandal, it's not long before you find out, well, this is actually prevalent around the league. A lot of teams do it. So the Astros, for instance, and again, Houston, I'm sorry to be crapping on your teams. I don't mean to, but you were at the center of a rather large cheating scandal in the world of baseball recently, and that's the league we're talking about at the moment. And what you immediately found out after that is that, no, teams may not have been banging on trash cans or wearing buzzers, but they were, in fact, pretty egregious in crossing the line of what's kosher and what isn't.
Well, and this is – so here's where it differs from the steroid era to me. You kind of touched on a little bit, but – is this I think part of the reason, right, baseball let the steroid era happen is it made the game more watchable.
Absolutely.
It brought in fans. I don't know that this makes the game more watchable. And I'm sure there's people who love good pitching and, you know, the no-hitters are certainly exciting. I wasn't getting tired of them. Some people said they were. I really wasn't. I enjoy that. But I'm a little surprised baseball looked the other way on this because they've been trying to increase the offense and everything they do, it's just feeling like one step forward, two steps back at this point.
Yeah, they try to doctor the baseballs. It doesn't seem like it is universally having a positive impact on offense. And so you combine that with hitters being cracked down on more for taking illegal substances, pitchers seeming to have more free rein with what they're doing. This guy lifted a cinder block without grabbing it, just putting his hand flat out on top of it, using whatever substance he's now bringing to the mound with him. So it's gone out of control in the other direction. And it's fun if a no-hitter's going on to tune in and catch the end of it. If you're a fan of the team, perhaps you're watching all the way through right. And you're captivated. But it waters down the product. So it's, that's another no-hitter. That's cool. There was something like more no-hitters happening in baseball than amount of games that Brooklyn's Big Three played together in the regular season.
Yeah.
And more than Taylor Swift number one albums on the Billboard 100 in America. So it has gotten out of control this year. And you can see all the factors that have come together to make that reality possible. And I just think that baseball has consistently got it wrong in a lot of areas. And part of it, by the way, is the players' union constantly blocking and delaying things like the clock that's going to come at some point, but it would make the game faster. And we talk about hockey, one of the best things on its side in the playoffs, pace of play. So the MLB is trying to quicken it up. And the players' union is blocking it.
I think pace of play is a little different. I think even aside from pace of play, however long it takes, 2.5 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours, I don't want to watch a bunch of guys strike out trying to hit home runs. Show me a team stringing an inning together. You don't see that anymore. The Red Sox do it. They're one of the few teams that does it. Alex Cora is kind of old school in that way. But part of the reason you can't do that is, okay, they juice the baseballs to increase offense, but it wasn't really increasing offense. It was just increasing power offense. And then the pitchers overcompensate. They start doing these illegal substances. Now it's impossible to hit. All you had to do is ban the shift.
Yeah,
and I know people say it's not
limited.
It's not pure baseball or whatever. Every sport has some limitation as to where people can line up, right? There's a ton in football. I won't list them. Hockey, in terms of the goalie, like there's a reason you can't have somebody wearing goalie gear skating all over the ice, right? And then even in basketball, I would say something like the over and back violation, 3 second violation,
illegal defense,
taking charge in the circle, right? Baseball's the only sport where there's no rules about where the defense can and can't play. The only thing is, and so there actually is one because I looked this up once. You have to have a catcher. Because here's when the shift went wild, I wondered, okay, well, if you don't have a catcher, pass balls don't matter. Go have that guy stand out right at second base. Ground ball's up the middle.
Yeah, let the ball boy get a workout in.
Right, let the umpire shred the umpire's knees. So that's the only rule you have to have. And I think everybody has to be in
no
fair territory.
You're the home plate ump. Would you get out of the way behind home plate?
Well, you have to do your job. You have to call balls and strikes.
I didn't say duck and cover, but would you still stand directly behind home plate, or are you off to the side?
Just call everything a ball until they moved the catcher back. But it's very easy. Outfield, whatever you want to do, you want to do. You have to have 4 players' feet on the dirt or the infield grass. You can only have 2 on each side of second base. That doesn't seem like that much. We'll get into this more on the other side. Again, the baseball cheating scandal. I do want to get into the rest of the NHL playoffs really quick, too. Some interesting developments there. We talked about the Bruins and Islanders a lot tonight. We'll wrap up the show. All that coming up. You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network with Bobby Krivitsky and Alex Barr.
You're listening to The Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Alex Barth and Bobby Kravitsky in for Anthony Pepe tonight on The Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. If you heard us bemoaning the officiating in the Bruins-Islanders game earlier, Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy going scorched earth on the officials in his post-game press conference. I don't know if this is still going on. I'm following it on Twitter. It either is still going or it just wrapped up. Said that maybe they'll get a call in game six. Said this is a direct quote. I think they sell a narrative over there. It's more like the New York Saints, not the New York Islanders. The exact calls that are getting called on us are not getting called on them. Bonus points, by the way, there was an indoor lacrosse team called the New York Saints
that played at
Nassau Coliseum. I think he got lucky, but that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins have every right. And if you're a neutral observer and didn't see it this way, or you're an Islanders fan, then, you know, you might feel differently. But the Bruins have every right to be upset about the officiating with tonight's game. And when you look at, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but whatever the discrepancy in shots was, it was lopsided.
41-19. 41-19, 18-3 in the final 5 minutes.
So when that happens, and it's so clear that what determined the game was questionable penalties, credit the Islanders for capitalizing, but they were 5-on-4 advantages that they probably didn't deserve, and the calls are not going both ways, then Bruce Cassidy has every right to be pissed post-game. And now they go back to New York, up 3-2. It very well may have determined the series outcome.
Well, so here's the thing. There is a history in hockey of coaches going after the officials and then getting some makeup calls in the next game.
Well, that's just sports.
But sometimes it backfires, too. And I think this is, you know, he's willing to take that risk with this season on the line because, you know, if you win game six and get it back to TD Garden for game seven, you never know. Patrice Bergeron, nominated for a Selkie for the 10th year in a row, best two-way forward in hockey, got thrown out of the faceoff circle early in this game after Barry Trotz, head coach of the Islanders, criticized him, called him a cheap player. Patrice Bergeron, a cheap player earlier today.
As fast as they come. But hang on.
Gets thrown out of the circle. Here's Cassidy. Have a little respect for Patrice Bergeron. That's the way you want to treat him? The officials just need to be better than that. Quit listening to these outside influences. I don't think they were great tonight. That's as strong an indictment as I think I've ever seen or heard by a coach on officiating.
This is where I say to the Bruins, you lost as an organization.
Oh.
The Islanders are sending in clips. They're making their complaints well known to the NHL. And what happens in a pivotal situation? Patrice Bergeron pulled off the dot by the officials. So what are the clips that you're sending in and complaining about, Boston Bruins organization?
Shouldn't come down
Cam
to that.
Healy and company. But the point is, it had an effect on the game and thus the series. And so Bruins, you got outperformed in that area. It mattered. It has played a tangible role in determining the series. So you need to step up in that regard too. And it's great for Bruce Cassidy to call it out at his post-game presser after a loss. But the Bruins need to make sure that come game six, especially with them now fighting to keep their season alive, that these calls go their way. That anything they're complaining about that can have as great an impact as the Islanders complaining about how Patrice Bergeron operates in the faceoff circle, the Bruins need that same kind of sway from the officials in game six, and that's about their ability to get that done themselves. How persuasive can you be? Because clearly
the Islanders are
good at it.
That's not my problem. They needed to be better on the ice. They controlled the first 10 minutes of that game and finished the first period 1-1. I mean, they missed a number of chances to you know, score. They finished 5-4. They had 7, 8, 9 quality scoring chances, the Bruins did. I don't think the Islanders played particularly great tonight. So that's another story. But I want to share some of those quotes. I don't know, Bobby, that I've ever seen a coach go after officials in a post-game press conference. I mean, telling officials flat out to respect a certain player. I don't think I've ever seen that before. We never saw Bill Belichick tell the officials to respect Tom Brady. We've never heard Joe Maddon tell officials to respect Mike Trout. We've never seen anything like that. That stood out to me. I want to get back to the baseball, though. We were talking about the new cheating scandal, the doctoring the baseballs, all of that. I think they should just ban the shift. You get two guys on each side of the bag. You have to have four players within the infield so that it doesn't, they don't have to be on the infield dirt. They can be on the infield grass. You can bring all four guys in, but none of this fakakta, you know, your third baseman playing halfway out in right field. No more of that. It just, it kills the game. I remember I was doing one of these shows with Matt McCarthy a few months back, Bobby, and it hit me and it was really sad. You know who there's no room for in today's game?
Who's that?
Ichiro. What would a team think about? Teams don't want guys
Ichiro
hit singles.
Had the ability to hit for power. He just didn't. So maybe there would be a place for Ichiro. He was that talented of a player. With the shifting, I don't need it banned as much as reduced and reduced dramatically. But Theo Epstein, who's now working with the league, and he acknowledges the role that he's played in being detrimental to baseball as an entertainment product, which is what it is, first and foremost. So some of the changes that he's talked about is they're exploring the impact of manipulating the strike zone, most notably shrinking it. What if they move the mound back? I know you don't love that idea.
See, I
think it helps the cause. And also one that's interesting is using technology that they said is going to be in the MLB in probably 2, maybe 3 years, where the pitcher and catcher can communicate without laying signs down or verbally, and that will allow the game to move faster because they don't have to worry about sign stealing.
So I like that one, the moving the game back to me. And I'm not necessarily one of these get-off-my-lawn people. I am a little bit. That's such a fundamental change. That's so different.
It's been done before. It's not unprecedented in Major League Baseball.
It's lined up perfectly with first and third. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think if you want to raise it or lower it, I don't know which one would help hitters. I'd imagine
lowering
it would, right? Yeah. If you want to raise or lower it, that's fine. If you move it back, I'll tell you this, you are going to see a massive rise in stolen bases. And I guess, look, maybe I'm contradicting myself here because I said I want more small ball. I wish there was a place for Ichiro. Another player, one of my childhood favorites, Juan Pierre. What is Juan Pierre doing in the modern major leagues? There'd be nothing for him. Great player, fun player. There'd be no role for him today. You're going to see those guys come back in droves because if you have to throw the ball forward to pick somebody off, that's going to be incredibly difficult, especially for a right-handed pitcher, when you think about what that angle is. So you want to raise or lower the mound? Sure. Again, I think get the substances out. First of all, that's clearly it. That's not a fundamental change to the game. Fix the substances. Don't juice the baseball. Just let it be. I think if they just let everything be and then just said, hey, you get two infielders on each side of the bag, I think that would fix a ton of problems. But this is what baseball does. Baseball loves to solve problems that don't exist and ignore the ones that do. Pace of play. We all complained about pace of play. The games are taking 3.5 hours. It's a problem. What does baseball do? Oh, guess what, guys? We figured it out. Intentional walks, not a thing anymore. You can just wave them over. I did the math once. The average, you know, this isn't the age of Barry Bonds where there's 4 or 5 intentional walks a game. That saved the average MLB team over the course of a season 4 minutes total over 162 games.
An interesting number.
You really did it, guys. You really did it.
It's an interesting number that you bring up there, 4 minutes, because it's not just the pace of play as in the length of a game, but it's the lack of action during a game. And so the average time right now that you go in between hits is nearly 4 minutes.
Okay, so you essentially put one hit closer together over an entire season. It's not per game. Didn't say 4 minutes per game with the intentional walk over the entire season. Another one I love of baseball solving problems that don't exist. The extra innings rule. It's kind of grown on me. I think it's interesting strategically. I'm very glad they don't have it in the playoffs. That would be the final straw for me. But, you know, if a game's going to extra innings, I'm hooked. I'm invested. That's a good game. I'll stay a little longer. I'll stay up a little later to watch a good competitive baseball game, right? We all stayed up. Those Dodgers-Padres games that were great last month, every sports fan was staying up for those. Non-baseball fans were like, that was great. Don't change those games. That's not the game I need sped up. I need more of those games. What you need to do is tell me, how are you going to speed up the game in mid-April where it's 40 degrees out and it's 11-3 by the fourth inning? How are you speeding up that game where not even the players want to be there? But baseball ignores that. We sped up extra innings.
Well, so what's the solution to that? I think you just need a faster pace
of play
in general.
But maybe allocate the resources that went towards free intentional walks, or find somebody who's more creative than free intentional walks to figure out that problem. Like, they're solving problems that don't exist. They're not solving the problems people are asking for. They're solving these smaller problems. They're putting duct tape, on it.
Yeah, I mean,
massive.
They have a litany of issues. Some of them don't get resolved because of the strength of the players' union.
That's fair. They do fight an uphill battle, but again, they're using duct tape to fix the Titanic.
Yeah, but I mean, so the big three issues to me are pace of play. They need to get rid of this three outcome baseball approach.
Yep.
And I think that they need to do a better job of marketing the game.
Yes.
They also, it's the sport that asks the most of the consumer's time. 162 games is ridiculous. And the fact that these games take forever is absurd. No other sport demands this much time from the viewer.
But we invested in it at one point. We, the collective viewing public, invested in it at one point. And
well, they can keep it at 162 if they can make the game faster and with more action, because it's so far behind the other big three
right.
in North America right
and
now.
Look, no, they do need to make it faster, but it's the summer. I'm out on the porch, at the game on little TV or on the radio, and sipping an adult beverage. Summer's just a slower pace. It's relaxed.
So the selling point is it's okay because for 2.5 months out of the year.
What I'm saying is they don't need to be the NBA or the NHL where every game is 2.5 hours flat and that's what it is. Like, I'll invest a little more time because I have. I think a big thing too, if we're going to go down this road and just, rip baseball for everything they're doing wrong, I think the sabermetrics, they need to tone it down, at least publicly. If guys want to do it, if people want to do it behind the scenes when they're running teams, look, you have Aaron Boone saying double plays are a good thing. So that's another story, how much it should factor into those making the decisions. But, right, Bobby, when you're about my age, right? What year are you born?
So I'm 29.
29, all right. I'm 27, unfortunately, because that means I have to get my own health insurance. that's why the unfortunately. So you'd go, you get a pack of baseball cards, and you'd open it up, right? And you look, first thing you do when you got a player, turn it over, you look. Batting average, home runs, RBIs. Win-loss record, ERAs, strikeouts. And we could understand that.
And now batting average doesn't matter.
Right. As 8, 10, 12-year-old kids, we could comprehend that. We could understand it. And baseball cards are coming back. And that's huge. But we could swallow it, right? I don't know if you ever played MLB Showdown. Back in the day.
Not MLB Showdown.
It was this game. It wasn't a video game. It was with cards. But the cards had, different numbers on them. And there was you rolled dice. And the cards corresponded to the dice. And, you learn players that way. There was no baseball video game. For sports consoles. No, for the last five, for Xbox, there
recently.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Right.
There was Slugfest, Triple Play Baseball, MVP Baseball.
There was.
Yeah, they went away.
And then they went away. And now it's back. So, again, some of these things are coming back. But my point is, I don't know how accessible baseball is to kids. And I think about it, if kids really got invested, I actually think kids would watch a little bit longer of a game. I know people say kids don't have an attention span, but I have a childlike mind, right? If I'm really interested in something and invested in it, I'll sit and watch it. I'll get glued to it. So, stop making kids have to learn what, batting average over replacement on Tuesdays where it's raining is. I think that's a huge point that nobody talks about. I think the game's gone away from being accessible to the common fan, to the casual fan. I think that's a problem.
This is where the idea that it's so easy to have a baseball game on and do something on a second screen works in baseball's favor.
The best.
But they need to give you more juice. There needs to be more action. I do think the games need to be shorter. I can stomach if it's longer, but I would love for them to average 2.5 hours. That's a sweet spot to me that I'd like for them to hit or at least come close to. So I just think that baseball, they need to give consumers more bang for their buck.
It's the million-dollar question right now in sports. How do you fix baseball? I don't know that we'll ever get an answer. I don't know if there is a right answer. But
I think we know the answers. We went over a lot of them just now.
That's true.
Can any of them actually get implemented?
They always
tell us it's coming soon. But when is this movie going to get released?
Well, it's been a great season so far. They've had the season they needed so far, so maybe they're starting to dig back out. We got one segment left here before we wrap it up on the Diehards. Keep it here. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Back on the Diehards final segment here. Sports Map Radio Network, Alex Barth, Bobby Krivitsky. Anything else we didn't get to? I feel like we didn't really stick to the schedule we had, but we had a really good show.
I actually think that we covered all the ground.
Did we?
We just kind of...
This felt much less structured than our usual shows. It's, again, if you couldn't stand us going back and forth to the hockey game, but I think at least some people got some joy out of hearing
two
Boston fans suffer.
By the way, are you aware of, as the Nets-Bucks game comes to a close, what the score is? Well, you're looking.
I just looked.
Milwaukee didn't come back.
They did 125-86 with 35 seconds to go. Oh, brutal. Yeah.
That's without James Harden. At this point, we might not see him the rest of the series, even if he's able to go.
The Nets are winning the whole thing, aren't they?
They are. And the crazy part is that my contingency was if the big three is healthy, they're definitely winning it all. Now it looks like they'd probably win it all with two.
What was the tweet you found earlier you told me off the air about feeling good for the Nets?
Oh,
something like, you can't help but feel good for the three guys who all forced their way off their former teams.
No, who all quit on their previous teams.
Yeah, quit on their previous teams. That
also,
kind of
by
year.
The way, I've had this pulled up. I thought we were going to go into Mayweather Paul. Logan Paul landed a whopping 13% of his punches, 28 of 217. Mayweather honestly wasn't that much better.
Brutal. All right, rough weekend in sports. We'll be back at it next week. Hopefully we get some better news. This has been the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. For Bobby Krivitsky, I'm Alex Barth. Have a good night, everybody.